This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback. Takes the snap. Retreats in the pocket. Under a rush. Throws across the middle. Touchdown! Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. I'm Mark Bertrand. I will be joined shortly by both Paul Perillo and Andy Hart as soon as they make their way over here to our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium after the Patriots fall to the Giants 16-13, the final score in their fourth and final preseason game of the year, as Andy and Paul make their way into the studio after another successful preseason broadcast.
Pump those brakes.
Okay. Gentlemen, how are we? How are we doing?
I played better.
Yeah? Okay. All right. You seem a little down.
You know, I take full responsibility first and foremost as the leader of this broadcast. Yeah, struggled tonight.
You know,
we played like it was the fourth preseason game.
Coach Belichick, you know, he stresses team. And I don't think the team...
Not a cohesive unit.
No.
A lot of talking over one another.
I don't
tonight,
think the team had a strong night tonight.
We struggled in all areas.
So I apologize for that.
Audio.
Not the way I wanted to go out.
Better luck next year, boys. All right?
Just hope they have us back.
Better luck
after
next
that
year.
After that performance, I'm not sure I would.
Patriots lose tonight, 16-13, the final. I think there were some really good things to come out of this game tonight.
Okay, name one.
Well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's get to the good, the bad, and the injured right out of the gate here on the program.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
F***ing don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen, and I can't get up!
On the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand.
Let's start here.
Let's start with putting Andy and Paul in the damn open.
Maybe for the regular season. We'll consider it.
You were in the open. You were just late to the show. And if you were hosting the show...
These guys were late. That's right.
But the difference was I was actually working for the team.
Yeah.
Much like we are right now.
Let's start with this. Here's what I would have done. If you had asked me prior to the game what the over-under on catches for Aaron Dobson was, I would put it at 1.5 and I would have taken the under.
So you lose.
I would have lost. Aaron Dobson?
That was one of my six-pack.
Three catches tonight? 33-yard.
That was one of my pregame six packs.
33-yard pickup, 57 yards receiving, and a touchdown. I'll take that. Thank you very much. That's great. Yeah, good job, Paul.
I don't know if it's about numbers. It was good to see him out there running
around.
Good to
see him out there. I think it was a pretty uneven performance for him.
But yeah, it was. But for him to, for the first preseason game, but first time we saw him in a really competitive situation.
Yeah, I thought it was important that he got some action because I didn't want a young guy. I think, you know, and Chatham's really stressed this tonight.
How long did it take him to strike?
With Dominique Easley, I didn't want a young guy getting his first reps in the regular season. So I thought it was important that he get out there tonight. I thought, you know, the touchdown was great, but I thought there was some uneven, you know, I thought he had a bad drop. I thought he looked like he was, I thought he should have had the touchdown pass, the second one. I thought he should have definitely been able to get his feet in bounds on. That's the kind of play last year. I equate him and Tompkins a lot.
Body control.
He is the more talented of the two guys. Andy and I talked about this very briefly during one of the our breaks. I think there are a lot of similarities with their inconsistency. I think Dobson is just the far more talented of the two, so he looks better.
You almost called him Dobkins.
Dobkins.
Let's just blend them together.
He has a much
Dobkins.
Higher ceiling, right? That's how
he has a higher ceiling.
I
think he's more physically gifted, but they do a lot of the same kind of things. They're tripping and falling coming out of breaks. You know, today there was a ball that should have been caught in the back of the end zone.
They're
I mean, he should have got his feet down. A ball that should have been caught over the middle.
Oh, learn! How long are you going to
learn?
Yeah.
I thought they were all Sean Jeffrey.
I think he should have learned that.
Well,
and I also think.
Hold on, though. Don't grade Dobson on tonight. Don't grade him as, like, this is what
I'm not grading him on tonight. I'm grading on what I've seen.
Yeah, I'm just saying that tonight was a positive sign for me because, you know what? I've kind of thought that this offseason was a lost offseason for him.
And it was.
And it is. And he's, you know, just getting going.
He
and it might take some time for him to get back to being ready to play and be out there on a regular basis. I have more confidence that it's going to be sooner rather than later for him.
I agree with
that. Tonight made me feel good about where he's at.
He was out there, and I'm glad because
you guys
are
so
negative. No, we're not, actually, because I'm going to be very positive right here. Speaking of being out there, I thought just first impressions, Tim Wright.
Get his name right.
was impressive.
Also
he caught the ball. He got open. He had that one run after the catch where he showed a little speed, little burst. You know, for a guy that Lovie Smith was questioning his hands in camp a couple weeks ago or 10 days ago, I thought he looked pretty good. I'm intrigued to see what I'm going to get from Tim Wright a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, see if he grows in this offense.
Kenbrell Tompkins had 5 catches in this game. Do we have any complaints about Kenbrell Tompkins?
To me, same Kenbrell Tompkins.
I know you're not a Kenbrell Tompkins guy.
Well, a drop touchdown.
That happened.
Yeah, no, I know that happened. I threw his hands.
That happened,
right? Am I wrong?
No, it did.
So, I mean, you can say that we're being negative, but tell us when we're being wrong.
The truth is never negative.
See, the truth can very much be negative. But what I'm saying is, I don't mind you calling me negative. But if you're going to call
me negative on Dobson, that's
call me wrong. If I'm wrong, say that I'm wrong. He had a ball go right through his hands tonight. And by the way, the fact that he played, you know, throughout the game tonight.
I think that was interesting, how much he played. You know, he's been out there. It's not Dobson where you say, yeah, he's got to get his reps, so he's playing late into the game. Not saying he's going to get cut, but there were certainly, and we brought this up late in the broadcast, and, you know, when we were talking over each other, and there were guys out there that seemed like they're key players on this team. And, you know, Browner, okay, so you say he's going to be gone for a month, so he's out there. And Dobson's just back, so he's out there. Well, Worthy just got here, so he's out there. Well, Tompkins is out there, and Logan Ryan is out there, and why are they still out there? Where do they stand with this team? Not that they're going to be cut, but, you know, just a lot of different... Josh Klein, who I was arguing maybe the starting left tackle. He certainly didn't look like a guy that was the starting left guard tonight because he played left guard into the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game. So, you know, these sort of trying to read why guys are getting reps at this late point in the process. I don't know what to make of all of them.
How did you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo's performance?
Where was Brandon Bolden? Did he even play?
I don't believe he did. He was not suited up today.
I don't think he made the trip.
He better be run out of town. Because, I mean, why would you keep him around? What does he give you?
I don't know.
What?
I just said I don't know.
I know.
Bolden was not there.
Exactly. What does he give you? He's always either hurt or he's got something. He's this, he's that. I'm sorry. People that are saying Stephen Ridley should be run out of town because he fumbles. Yes, he fumbles. I understand that. But he also has given you a 1,200-yard season and, you know, 25 touchdowns in 2 years. What are we keeping Brandon Bolden around for? What's he ever done?
I think it's like 19, but that's okay.
Well, whatever. 20-something, you know, in the ballpark of 20 touchdowns.
When's Benny coming back?
Brandon Bolden to play 20 games.
I love busting his balls on the guys that he really likes.
What day is Benny coming back this week?
We do need to check in with the cuts of...
Labor Day? You think Monday? He's here?
Oh, no, it could be Sunday.
Oh, it could be Sunday.
Because I think he'll get cut Saturday, and then he'll get...
I do think that's a fascinating aspect of this that we probably would have gotten into if we hadn't been talking over each other. Cuts are Saturday. Okay, 6 o'clock Saturday. We know the team. No, you don't. Because there's going to be guys that are on the team that won't be on the team come Tuesday. Guys, you know, we talked about James Devlin. Didn't make the team right out of camp and then was back on the team and played all 16 games all year and is now the best fullback in the NFL. So, you know, the process goes from Saturday into Sunday into Monday.
Even
you know,
really kind of goes into the start of week two when there's veterans who are signing with teams
Belichick,
after week
it's
one.
It's always fluid.
No, but significant. I think you could see, you know, 4, 5, 6 roster spots at the bottom of the roster that changed significantly from Saturday, from this Saturday, probably through the following Tuesday.
And I could see that, you know, you mentioned a couple of those guys that were out there late today. A guy like Jarrell Worthy, there's a chance that he could be out there. I mean, he could make the team coming out of camp just because they don't feel like they have enough information yet. And maybe he makes the club. I don't know. You know, I didn't see much tonight,
Worthy,
to be honest with you.
Worthy looked better this week than he did last week. That's not saying
he looked quicker this week than he did last week.
Because he looked terrible last week. But this week he showed
he
that
got
maybe
blown up on that fourth down in short play. I do think that he looked quicker. Andy made the comment that he was sort of seemed like he was picking a side. And when he did that, he was beating his guy. But I think when he played it straight up, I thought he was getting manhandled at the line of scrimmage. But again, knocking a lot. I mean, he hasn't played at all. It's not like Tim. I mean, even Tim Wright, you could say, well, he didn't have any of the plays tonight, but he played all of training camp in Tampa Bay.
Right, right.
Worthy hasn't played at all.
No.
I just cut him a little bit of slack.
Can we just go back to Garoppolo, though? Do you put him on the good or the bad?
Both. I thought he looked like a rookie quarterback today.
Yeah, I thought he did too.
A lot of fluttering balls.
He doesn't set
his feet at times.
Yeah, it's like he just
and his arm
wings
is not
it.
Strong enough to get away with it. He does not have like a Phillip Rivers or one of those guys with a strong arm that can get away with it.
And he got away with a couple of interceptions.
Oh, he could have had six picks.
Yeah, he could have. Phillip Rivers is a good comparison to some of the things that we saw tonight.
But he's got a strong enough arm to get away with it.
Right, right.
Garoppolo doesn't set. He then throws a fluttering ball that takes forever to get there that's kind of floating through the air.
His deep ball's a bit of a floater, too. We saw that
early
on.
Yes, a lot of ducks tonight, too.
On the pick that was called back on
the
penalty.
I wonder if there was a moisture issue, maybe.
Which, by the way, should not have been a penalty.
Well, especially tonight. Like, if you're going by the first three preseason games, I have no problem with that penalty on the Giants tonight.
Yeah,
but they didn't call
it.
They called this game like it was a playoff game tonight. Logan Ryan killed a guy in the end zone, and they didn't call anything, which is, I'm fine with it. Put the flags away and let us play. But I agree with you. That was a ticky-tack call.
Terrible call.
On that play. What I was wondering on Garoppolo, what I was disappointed in, I should say, with Garoppolo, and it's not unexpected. Like Andy said, rookie quarterback, you're going to have ups and downs. I really, really wanted to see him go out first drive or the second drive when I knew the Giants were going to have some starters in the field and have him put together a drive. And he looked, as you would expect, he looked overmatched, I thought, early in the game. He threw one pass to Jeremy Gallen that he threw right – it was a Peyton Manning pick from the playoffs 2 years ago where he's rolling to his right and throwing back to the left, which he did earlier in the preseason in Washington and got away with it. And it went right to a Giants defender, defender's hands, and Jeremy Gallen caught it for like a 19-yard catch.
Yeah,
that should have been picked. He had a pick earlier in that drive that was called back. I think he had one first down, and then they punted. I wanted to see him move the ball against the starters. I'm not overly surprised that he didn't. I'm not beating up on him. Still love a lot of the stuff I see from him. And he got on a little bit of a rhythm there at one point, I thought, when he was in the hurry up and in the shotgun, and it was just a lot of quick throws. But
he's back to college, what he's comfortable with.
I agree. When he evidently didn't have a playbook.
Yeah, that was news to me.
Yeah, by the way, who's the head coach there that I'm going to never think is a very good coach?
That guy should get canned.
Yeah, he had some ups and downs tonight, to be sure.
All right, we still doing the good and the bad and stuff?
Yes, we are.
Okay, go ahead. Remind me, I have a question I want to ask.
Well, go ahead.
Later.
You can ask it right now. We can work it in.
Well, I want to work it in. It's some of the guys we're talking about, the Worthies and different guys that are out there in reps. If this team stays in a 3-4, who are the starting defensive linemen?
It's a good question. I mean, like, we know Wilfork is.
Wilfork. And I got to think right now, Volano is one of them.
I would think, just based on his playing time in the preseason.
Easily we haven't seen, so you can't expect he's going to go out there and start in Miami. Worthy, I don't really like, and I can't imagine after a limited time he's going to go out there and start. I don't know what we're doing on the defensive line.
Put that in the bad category.
No, I actually think what you have to do is put yourself back in a 4-3 front, where you can put Volano and Wilfork
inside, Chandler Jones and Ninkovich outside. That's what I think you open the season with.
Of course, that also implies that you have linebackers. Because if Dante Hightower and Gerard Mayo aren't ready to start the season, I don't know what you're doing at linebacker either. I just became a wet blanket.
Well,
negative, yes.
No. I'm just pointing out facts.
By the way, the guy's name is Kim Dameron, the head coach at Eastern Illinois.
The moron part of that name is right. Damoron is a coach.
Kim Damoron.
I'll remember that forever. Oh, their coach is Damoron.
That's Damoron, yeah. It doesn't have a playbook.
Seriously. No playbook. He just ditched the playbook.
No, you know what he did? He got a really good quarterback who was above that level of play, and he rode him to 5,000 yards and some success.
And they just relied on athleticism and his ability to drop back, run. What do you mean?
Like, is he still the coach?
Oh, yeah.
What year?
He's the man. Oh, you know what?
Is he his first year?
It's his first year.
Yeah, because I was just going to, Andy, you know what I was just going to say? To piggyback on your point.
No, they fired the guy. Who was the old guy?
No, well, they didn't fire him. The guy rode Jimmy Garoppolo's coattails, and he was smart and said, I'm never getting this again. I'm getting out of Dodge. He parlayed that into a deal. That's what you have to do. You should know that at your level. You're with me. You're stepping stone. 1AA football? Come on, it hasn't been that long since UMass was in 1AA.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
He's not with you because his team is in real football now, and your team doesn't exist.
His team's not in real football. Have you watched them play?
Oh, well, they play
in real. I didn't
they
say
play
they
this stadium.
Play real football. They are in real football.
Yeah, Dino Babers.
Babers, yeah.
Babers, that's how it's said?
I believe that's who it is. He was the original. He's the coach now. Where is he?
I'm going to tell you in a minute.
Dino nothing about putting together an offense.
He is now at. Hold on.
Hold, please.
This is scintillating radio at the Patriots post-game show.
It's not really all that important, but
he's at Bowling Green now.
Yeah, I'm not overly surprised by it. Now, was he the head coach last year or the offensive coordinator?
He was the head coach, and now he's the head coach
see, that's,
of Bowling
Andy,
Green.
Andy, you hit the nail on the head without even knowing it. I mean, he had a guy that was at a level that was higher than, he was better than that level, and he rode him. And he said, go ahead and do your thing. And
no,
then
I
he
think
was,
I knew it when I hit it on
and
the
And he was smart enough to say, I need to get out of here.
Right.
Because that, you see that Steve Donahue. Former BC basketball coach. He was at Cornell.
Right out of Cornell.
He had a 7'1" transfer from Kentucky that he would never get again, and Randy Whitman's son. He rode them to the Sweet 16. He was at Cornell for about 8 or 9 years. He had one good team. And he said, I'm out.
This is why that guy Jared hates the postgame.
I'm taking the BC job.
And Andy's Felger's neighbor now, just in case anyone cared to know that.
On Nantucket?
Would have been no, in his other home. It would have been far more fun for DeMoron to be the head coach.
Yes, there.
But
I saw some good things.
Back to it.
It wasn't all bad with Garoppolo. I saw some good things too.
Do you think it's possible that the fact that there was no playbook affects the way he makes decisions now? Because I think it's possible. If he's just kind of going out there and flying by the seat of his pants the last couple of years,
well, clearly,
in terms of its. Drop back, look around, make a throw. Like,
he's
he gets rid
be
of the
more,
ball quick, we know that.
But he's going to be more comfortable in the hurry-up because of that, in the two-minute situations, in the situations where it's more like that. And it may take him a little bit longer, sort of like we talk about receivers getting on the same page with Brady. Well, he needs to get on the same page with the system. The fact that, our offense isn't about go out there and wing it, kid.
Right.
Our offense is about precision, timing, reads, option routes, and all that. So that knowledge... Doesn't that lend you toward more even, clearly Ryan Mallett's still the backup because we can't throw this kid with no playbook out there winging it in November against, we'll get blown off the field.
It just feels like the play with Gallen, he's willing to take more risk than he should be willing to take.
Yes.
Given where he's at in his NFL career. Like, he seems like he is just rolling the dice sometimes. And then I heard that he didn't have a playbook and I thought, well, this explains part of that for him, at least in my mind.
Well,
it
he's
does.
Confident. He has a lot of confidence
because
in his athleticism.
But it was built from playing in a college system where he was at that level could be so much better than his competition that he could go out and do that stuff.
Exactly.
He can't do that stuff at the NFL level.
But the playbook,
but it's no different than Johnny Manziel learning the same damn thing.
Yeah, see,
he's
that
a different
stuff
prospect,
is different to me.
But it's guys learning what they can get away with, what they can't get away with, what used to work, which no longer works. Now I got to hone my skills into an NFL scheme.
Yeah, the playbook isn't as much about the throws back across the body. That you can't get away with that in college either. And you can run around like Johnny Manziel in college, and he's learning that he can't do that now. But to me, it doesn't really have much. The playbook thing to me, I think, is a side of this that
how much 1AA football
thinking
you
about.
Watch lately, Paul.
More than I,
you can't get away with that stuff sometimes.
More than I should admit.
When you're Jimmy Garoppolo, who I would take over Johnny Manziel, by the way, right now, right this second.
I would too.
Okay, I would take Jimmy Garoppolo. He's right as of right now. He's a better draft pick than Johnny Manziel,
and less of a DB.
Yeah, I mean they weren't picked all that far apart. I mean, it was like 30 picks apart. I mean they're comparable prospects.
Manziel's better. Excuse me, Garoppolo's better than Manziel.
You know it sucks when you say something definitively and you say the opposite of what you
think. I mean,
totally wrong.
I think based on what I've seen in four preseason games, I would agree with you. Garoppolo's better, but I don't think that really means a whole. I mean, they're comparable guys.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number here on the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. 855-PATS-500. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. So if you want to send in an email, give us your thoughts on the game, on the preseason, on the season, you know, on the whole. Web radio at patriots.com or 855-PATS-500. Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football needs, giving you personalized...
Every fantasy football fan needs.
What did I say?
Every fantasy football needs.
Okay, I'm going to start that over. Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 in a Microsoft store near you.
Can I play
a game? Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
I got a game for us in this unique post-game show where we had a unique game to break down with playing time and everything.
Sure.
I think we should take a new spin on the fantasy football game of start 'em, sit 'em, cut 'em. Add cut 'em to it, and let's go through some players. Is he a starter? Is he a sitter? Or is he a cutter?
All right, what do you got?
Josh Klein. Start 'em, sit 'em, cut 'em.
Sit 'em.
Sit 'em.
Sit 'em, I agree. Tavon,
by the way, he would be on my bad list for tonight.
Some people,
noted.
I'm going to include, didn't play tonight. Patrick Chung.
Sit him.
Start him.
I would sit him.
I would start him. Jake Beckett. Remember, Micah Buchanan is part of your got hurt tonight.
Let's assume it's not that serious. Cut him.
I'd cut him, too.
I think I would cut him. But if Buchanan is seriously injured, then I'd keep
him. Well,
you'd
have to,
for the Buchanan spot.
Joshua Boyce.
Cut him.
Cut him.
Cut him. Who else? Brandon Bolden.
I'd cut him.
Cut him. Boy, I thought this would be more fun. I thought we might have some Jordan Devey.
Cut him.
Cut him.
Cut him. Ryan Wendell.
Start him.
Start him as well.
You'd sit him.
You'd sit him.
I don't know.
We already did that. We already did that argument in the pregame
show. I didn't
show.
Think Klein played overly well tonight, but...
And I'm not. That's not fair to him to just judge it on one game.
No,
but he didn't play well tonight.
But I never. I didn't notice him playing as poorly previously as I thought he played tonight.
No, I thought he got beat on both sacks, and I thought there were other pressures that were he was involved in, and he played. I think he played wire to wire.
Jarrell Worthy.
I would cut him.
I would sit him.
I would cut him too, but I don't think they're going to cut him.
No, I think they're going to sit him. And I mentioned this.
If they cut him, I mean, if they
cut him, do we know what they gave up for him?
A seventh if he makes the team.
A seventh if he makes the team.
And I believe that is the second he makes the 53-man roster.
Oh, I'd cut him then. You know why? I don't think anyone else wants him.
So you sign him back?
Sign him back. Yeah, you take him back.
The only
week.
Problem is, as a second-round pick a couple years ago, you never know. You get into one of those situations where his D-line coach is now the D-line coach
That's
with
true.
The Jaguars or something, well, and boom, he gets it signed.
Do you cut him and try to sign him to your practice squad and, you know, just roll that dice and... See if you can.
I would, because you know, Bill says if you cut a guy, you got to be willing to lose him.
Right.
I'm willing to lose him.
I am.
I haven't seen anything that's made me. The only question I have is, I get back to our original quick game. Who plays defensive line for this team?
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. Do we exhaust the goods? Knock. I don't mean to hijack
this,
the good.
This
the bad
show
the
is off the rails.
No. I think we did. We talked about Dobson. We talked about Wright. We talked about Garoppolo.
I would put. Some defensive
Who's
player. I mean, I thought that some of the linebackers I thought showed up tonight. Ja'Garrett Davis is a guy that I thought showed up a little bit tonight.
Gerard?
No, Ja'Garrett.
No, I know.
Well, just because other people say it wrong doesn't mean we have to.
Really?
I thought it was all about team. Remember team, you know?
No cohesion team. In this program either tonight, Andy. You're 0 for 2 so far.
Fleming was a guy that I thought made some plays in the game tonight. You know what I was impressed with, and I don't know necessarily who to credit it to.
When Steve Boharnas got knocked out.
The short yard. That was on the air.
I didn't say the word.
The goal line defense. We saw it against, I think, Philadelphia with the goal line stand. Mm-hmm. 4 plays from the 1 tonight. They really made the Giants work at it, and finally they got in on the 4th crack. I don't know exactly who to credit
so
with
all
that.
So our third team goal line defense
no,
is
but
awesome.
Listen, you can't say good. The guys who didn't play, they're good. They all stayed healthy.
Brady did a fine job on that hold.
You know,
how do you feel about Malcolm Butler?
Talk about the guys who
point.
Did play.
Paul loves Malcolm Butler.
Would you put him on the good list tonight?
Not necessarily for anything he did tonight, but he's on the good list overall.
Yeah, I'm just looking for positives on the defensive side
Daxton
of the ball.
Daxton Swanson with a nice strip.
Terrific play.
And recovery. Good heady play. I like Jagaird Davis a little bit.
I think he's an athletic thumper.
How gifted he is.
Athletic thumper.
But he's a little undersized to be a thumper.
Sure.
And undersized thumpers usually get killed. They usually end up like Steve Beharnes did. Knock them out.
That's twice.
Yeah, don't say that, Andy.
You can't say fuh?
No, you can. Let's get
even
to some
if you
calls.
Say like, fuh!
Before the top of the hour here, let's go to Alex in Florida. Hey, Alex.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, girl.
Sup, girl?
Hey, girl. Hey, how are you? Okay. I think Garoppolo was exactly what I thought Garoppolo was going to be. I mean, I don't know what people were expecting, but he's a rookie from Eastern Illinois. I mean, what do you want from him? I mean, he overthrew the ball a lot. But I think that you guys a little bit contradicted yourself, because during the broadcast, I can't remember what Andy or Paul said, you thought you would be okay with cutting Mallett and keeping Garoppolo. But I feel like now you're kind of backtracking. I think I would be okay with it, because I think the word of the season is going to be rotation. Because the junk that was trying to run the ball tonight was making me sad, which just means, like, it's all about Ridley. I can't see getting rid of Vereen. I mean, the guys that there are over there trying to make the ball, trying to run it, go back to what I was saying, I think, with Lassus, which is about rotating on a series basis with running backs. So I think it's about rotating to all the positions, especially after getting rid of Logan Mankins. I feel like rotation. And I would rather get rid of Mallett and free up a roster spot to pick up somebody who's going to rotate, because that seems to be like the key on defense and offense and running and wide receivers. And also, I was just wondering what you thought about Tim didn't really play a lot tonight, and I thought maybe because if he was going to make the team and he'd be out for the first four games, they'd want him, like Browner, to play a lot before he sits. And I kind of like him, and I kind of want him to make the roster. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
Well, I love your first point. I think rotation being the theme of the team is a phenomenal point. We talked about it a little in the broadcast. Safety, corner, defensive line, you're probably going to have to rotate because, A, you don't really have a starting caliber group, and, B, those fat guys down in Miami are going to be sweating. But certainly you're right. Running back, offensive line, for all the hell we know, they could rotate at guard. Certainly wide receiver is a rotational position. So that's a very astute observation that rotation could be the theme early in the year.
Let's stick with that for a second.
Okay.
Is that a good thing?
No.
I didn't really expect it that quick of an answer.
I don't believe it's a good thing.
I don't like that.
I
don't.
I go to the Bill Belichick school.
I don't, but I figured that was going to be one of those things that you were going to yell at me about for being negative, because I
Why?
Think it is a little negative.
I go to the Bill Belichick school. If you have Reggie White, you play him.
Yeah, I think
if you have two, you don't have one.
I think sometimes we try to be
too cute,
a little bit too specialized.
See, but I don't think this is a case of specialized.
You get the.
Well, I think this is a case of I don't know who the hell's going to play.
Well, you're right about that, especially in terms of like safety. I think if they felt really good with Harmon, I don't think they'd be going through this stuff. I think they think Harmon does some things good and Chung does some different things good. And maybe Tavon Wilson factors into that. Maybe the slot guys factor in other ways.
Dennard, you catch Dennard tonight playing some
Dennard stuff? Started
did,
the
I
game
like
with
that.
Safety.
Well, actually, it's inside coverage.
Inside coverage is not safety.
By the way, I wish you didn't say that. I will say that.
It's a little snarky for TV.
I wonder if we're getting to a path where we're rotating at a place where I really don't feel comfortable. Offensive line. Like, do they just feel like Klein is good enough to play against this team or Cannon is good enough to play against that team? You know, Matt Chatham talked a lot about the matchups. I don't want to dictate everything just based on what the other team is.
I don't think they'll rotate on the offensive line.
I don't think so either, but I worry about it.
They may rotate, you know, three games and then realize, okay, this isn't really what we want, and then four games. They won't go week to week.
Yeah, and I don't mean rotation in terms of, like, intentional rotation. There's no doubt in my mind that they will play more than five offensive linemen Sunday in Miami.
Sure.
They would do that if Mankins was still here. Guys would rotate in and out. It'll be a hot day, first game of the season. Bill traditionally plays whatever many linemen are dressed, probably seven, maybe eight, because of the sort of the the unrest there, the uncertainty there. They'll all play just because it's opening day, and it's opening day in Miami where it figures to be really humid. But I'm talking about rotation for, Chung Harmon type rotation. Like, well, Charles Calais playing. We got to get maybe Harmon out there a little bit more than Chung. I don't like that kind of rotation.
Certainly not for what was the talk? They're going to be a top five pass defense, top three pass defense, top three secondary.
Well, Revis better be
gone
if that happens, because I don't feel that great about the other pieces. that are out there. I feel okay about them. I think they're okay at cornerback beyond Revis, but I'm not sure about it. I'm not sure about Browner when he comes back.
I'm not.
I'm not sure about Dennard.
I was, but now I don't feel as sure.
I like what I've seen in Butler, but I'm not sure that he's an NFL cornerback yet. He's an undrafted rookie.
Where?
West Alabama.
That is true.
You asked a question. I gave you the answer. What am I going to do?
And now you stare blankly.
Now you looked at me like you knocked out.
It's pho.
No, I left out the part that you're not supposed to say on the radio.
You can say pho on the radio.
We have more bad things to get to.
Why?
This is where the negativity kicks in, Paul. This is where we need you, my friend. This is where we need you.
Well,
you
I have Klein. I started you off with
Hold on.
Klein.
Save him. Don't want to hear him yet.
Oh, okay.
Don't want to hear them yet.
Well, I think our caller got into one of them. The piss-poor running attack.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that.
You
right
know
after
whose
this.
Image is better than his production? James White.
Yes, that would be at the top of the offensive bad list. 855-PATS-500.
The top.
The phone number for you, 855-PATS-500. It's the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. More from the good, the bad, and the injured next.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Yeah. Join Mark, Andy, and Paul by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or get in touch with the show via email at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
And a couple of other guys. Keep it like that as long as possible. Long as possible.
I introduced all three of you in the start of that bit.
You did? All right, let's go back to the phones in a moment, but we got to get to the bad. Where do you want to start, offense or defense, Paul?
We'll start on offense, and we talked about Klein, so we don't have to beat up on him. The running game has been non-existent in the preseason. They had the one game against Philadelphia where they really pushed around a smaller front. James White is a guy that I've been pretty high on, and he hasn't really shown much as a running back. I don't know how you feel about it.
Couple
of runs here and there. I think he had a 6-yard run and an 8-yard run tonight, but other than that, you're right. We saw the big play on the wheel route as a receiver. I'd like to see a little bit more from him as a running back.
He doesn't impress me as a running back at this level.
I thought he had some opportunities tonight. Now, listen, the blocking wasn't great. He wasn't running behind, you know, wasn't running through huge holes. But I thought he had opportunities to sort of stick it up in there and get what he could, square his shoulders, hit the hole hard, and, you know, and grind out 2, 3, 4 yards. I didn't think he did. I thought when the blocking wasn't there, he sort of turtled at the line and got some no gains, 1 yard gains. I agree with you. I don't know what the numbers are overall for the preseason. But I'd be surprised if he's even averaging 3 yards a carry.
Not impressed by him as a running back. I'm not. I know he had a great career at Wisconsin.
Yeah, I'm still high on him overall. I haven't been impressed in the summer.
I know that he put up some ridiculous stats, but here's what I've questioned about him coming to the NFL. Is he fast enough to get to the outside and run, which I think is debatable, or does he have that, you know, that second burst where you get right through the line of scrimmage? You know
that's
what I mean?
More important.
And that, to me, doesn't exist for this guy. I haven't seen it. Have you?
Well, I think there's been a lot of inconsistent blocking up front through 4 games of the preseason.
Excuses, Andy.
You're not going to make your money in the NFL sprinting to the sideline and then sprinting down the sideline. That's just not how it's going to work. So that burst you're talking about is far more important when you find the hole, hit the hole,
totally
get upfield.
I just think, listen, I said that because in college he had a lot of runs to the outside. And if you watch some of his best stuff when he you know, broke these big runs, he had these broke off huge runs for touchdowns and everything else in college. If you watch some of those plays, you look at them and you say, there's no shot he would ever have done this in the NFL.
Well, we certainly saw tonight the transition for college backs to the NFL. Andre Williams looked terrible. Looked like he is that his name, Andre Williams?
Yeah, the fourth down run.
Yeah.
I think any running back in the NFL brings that to a touchdown.
I mean, he looked like a guy that runs a 7.7 40. And
they've been really high in him this year,
right,
too.
No, but I'm just saying, you know, that's a guy that rushed for 2,200 yards last year. You know, there is a transition period here for these running backs to carve out their niche of what they're going to be in the NFL.
Good job, Ron Harmon, bringing him down, by the way, on the big run early.
He had a nice catch on the little wheel route down the sideline.
And we're negative.
Put that on the down list there. We're
objective. There's a difference.
He's mean.
He made a nice catch on that wheel route. So, you know, I'm not down on James White. I'm down on the running game and the ability to run the football. And I'm up on the fact that Stephen Ridley is still the only guy on this team that I'm willing to say line up. And if I need to run it, he might give me a chance to run it 15 or 20 times.
I'm down on James White as a runner. I still like him very much as a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield as a threat that way. What are you guys looking at?
A horrific
just
car crash
in
Attleboro.
And just pieces of car strewn about the highway.
All right.
Might have been the part of the reason for your traffic earlier. I don't know what time it happened, but it was daylight when they were showing the earlier photos. But, you know, that's a different topic.
I would say, you know, I'm
all traffic here.
I'm all in on Andy's. I'm all in on Andy's point. Yeah, I guess there was some traffic
at 11 o'clock at night.
The other side, Beetle, is the flip side. The run defense hasn't been really good. Now I thought Belichick talked about that at halftime. We got to run the ball better and stop the run better. He thought they were competitive in the passing game on both sides.
Yeah,
I thought they got better on defense against the run in the second half, but I do think they struggled a little bit. In both sides, they need to be a little bit better on that. Now, again, tonight, not a lot of guys that are going to be out there. But to your point, Andy, who is going to be out there on that defensive line? I think you're probably right with the 4-3 to get back to that. I just want to throw out there, and I don't know the answer to this. One of the guys that we sort of been avoiding saying their names all summer because we can't, LT.
Tuiapelolo?
Tuiapelolo? I don't know his. I'm sorry.
See, that's where a host is supposed to come in, like Dan Roach, somebody who
and
knows
Ethan
the name and
Ethan Manumaleuna.
Yes.
Either one of those two guys have the ability to play? I don't know.
I haven't been overly impressed. I tried to watch them a little bit tonight because they both got a little bit of run. What's that, 64 and 68? Right?
Tuiapelolo is the other guy, and Manumaleuna. Yeah, 64 and 68.
I
My
watched
guess
them
is
some
it's going
to
be Chris Jones in Silver Salinga.
Well, yeah, if they're healthy.
If they're healthy.
But you got one guy with a bad wheel and another guy with a bad hand.
Yeah, the guy with the bad hand is back practicing, though.
No, I know. But I also, as we started earlier in the pregame social, you know, now Chris Jones and Silver Salinga are key starters on the front. I thought we were supposed to be
Fred?
Good because we got all our guys back, like
Kelly
and Wilford.
Can I turn into Fred?
Please turn into Fred.
I went to the AFC Championship game with those guys.
And lost.
Well, still got to the AFC Championship game. Now you got Revis and Vince.
You had Vince.
And Mayo.
In previous seasons.
You didn't have Vince last year.
No, you didn't.
We're talking about the AFC Championship game.
You still don't have Mayo.
No, usually you guys will rattle off like three things that were bad.
Yeah.
And Fred will go, 12-4 AFC Championship.
And drop the mic like that.
And you're like, and? What's your point? I mean, no one's saying they're going like 3-13, Fred.
Anything else on that?
We're just, you know, bringing up some things that might be concerns.
Brandon Browner for me, down. I lost more confidence than
I'm taking a lot of heat for that on the internet.
Who is?
Me.
For what?
See, I totally.
I said I was underwhelmed with him all summer.
How could you not be?
Well, no, everybody else is in love with him. According to people on Twitter, Jumbo Hart's the only person I've heard at all say anything bad about Browner.
That's not true.
I'll say something bad about a pass defense that he had tonight. He got beat badly on that play, and only because Curtis Painter was throwing the ball, it didn't get there in time. He got torched on that play.
Who are you yelling at? You feel like you're yelling at me.
He's angry.
But are you defending me?
I'm not yelling
at you.
He's emotional. He went over this in pregame. He likes to speak with emotion.
You know, you'd think after 10 years you'd know me a little. You know, just a little bit.
I'm yelling at him.
But, you know, like, I get frustrated with the whole, well, we're the only ones that are saying Brandon Browner has been underwhelming. I'm sorry, I can't control the fact that no one else has any objectivity whatsoever, and anything that the Patriots do is got to be the right thing. I can't control that.
I had one of these meltdowns pregame.
Wow.
78%. I hear you. I just
if
don't.
You watch Brandon Bolden play tonight
Browner.
Against guys that Brandon
Browner.
Browner, I'm sorry. See, I'm now really upset now. If you watch him play tonight against guys that are not going to be in the
he
league,
he can't play.
And back to back plays, he got beat badly on that deep out, and the ball hung in the air forever. And in his defense, he made a good recovery play and knocked it away.
But
he should have never been able to do that because the throw was just bad. And then the next play, the way they've been calling it all summer,
That was a penalty.
Here's the question. Is he safe? Is he safe come this weekend?
Yes, he's safe.
I'm not convinced that he's totally safe.
See, I think he could be a surprise cut. I said that in the pregame, but I think he's safe.
If I had a guess, it's a 90% chance he's on the roster. But I'm leaving the 10% open at this point.
But if I'll tell you one thing. If he didn't have $1 million guaranteed, there'd be a lot more discussion from us right now.
Hey, but as you said, you've already paid the money.
Well, I'm going to get...
That's what you say.
Well, you
on
also,
the offensive
though,
line,
you need
right?
depth, too.
But
you've also made him a part of your... who are you keeping now? Daxton Swanson?
But get a little smarmy on it, like you know, some what? Of the guys do. You know, if you want to get snooty about it, right?
Snarky? Can I get snarky?
You've heard a lot of people say, well, who's played better, Garoppolo or Mallett? Who's better? Who's played better? Who's played better? And clearly, Garoppolo has played better than Mallett, right?
Yes.
I mean, who's played better, Malcolm Butler or Brandon Browner?
Malcolm Butler.
Okay, so let's not make it out to be like it would be completely out of the realm of possibility that other guys are better than him.
Yeah, who's more deserving of the roster spot, Malcolm Butler or Brandon Brown?
Now, Malcolm Butler certainly didn't have a roster spot coming into training camp.
He doesn't have $1 million guarantee.
I think he has one now. So if he does, I don't think it's that ludicrous to suggest that maybe Browner doesn't. I think he's staying for the reasons Andy said. I just don't think it's this lock. Like I said on the telecast, I think people just think, well, 4 weeks from now, you'll pencil him in week five, he's going to be starting opposite Revis.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's the case. Here's the thing that makes me believe he will certainly be safe with the 90% chance that I put on it. He's got the suspension, so he's in that same boat as Tim's, where they don't have to do anything with his roster spot for 4 weeks. But if they have it in their mind that the only reason they're keeping him for the 4 weeks is in case someone gets hurt and they're looking for someone after those 4 weeks, then they might decide, well, what are we wasting our time for? Let's just cut bait. Let's move on from this.
Well,
this player is not for us.
There's also an extra $500K that becomes guaranteed, I believe, the second he makes the roster.
Oh, interesting point, Andy.
So
week five,
$1.5 million. What do they call that, Paul?
Roster bonus?
No. It's that phrase I have trouble with. Good money after bad, bad money after good.
Yeah, that's
the one or the other.
Good money after bad. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what you're talking about.
Well, it's a phrase. It's either one way or the other.
Is going good money after bad is a phrase, right?
Yeah. Well, then that's what it would be.
Okay.
Because you've already pissed away the million.
I wasn't sure what money we were talking about, the million or the five.
The five. The million.
That would be good money after bad.
Million is dead. Million
you already
is gone.
Lost the million. That was the bad.
Right. But if you put him on your roster, now it's $1.5 million. Okay?
No, I'm with you.
All right?
I'm with you.
Okay?
Listen, you and I have sat in that tent, and evidently we're the only two that have said this all summer. But, you know, Matt Chatham talked about we saw him getting beat a lot in the Washington practices and then recovering with a limp. I missed the recovery part. Because what I saw when I watched them practice was against Philadelphia getting flags thrown all over him. And against Washington, the only passes that RG3 was completing were at Browner. He certainly wasn't completing any at Revis.
And at least half the time when he's blanketing a guy, it's because he's holding him. He's just flat out holding
him.
And that's why Chad O'Shea gets so pissed.
The third down play tonight on that number six guy, Washington for the Giants, that was a penalty all summer. And they didn't call it tonight for whatever reason. They were talking about how he's bumping him off and holding him off and playing with him. You know, the way we made the guy sound tonight, that he was like Revis out there just playing against these other guys. Well, I saw him losing track of guys, giving up separation to the guy last week against Carolina in the fourth quarter.
Another guy I had on my bad list tonight was Boyce, but we already kind of went over that.
That was Corey Washington, by the way, for the Giants, a undrafted rookie out of Newberry. And was supposed to sit there and be all impressed because he didn't allow something called Corey Washington to beat him for a third down conversion with 4 minutes left in the game.
So demeaning.
Paul's a little worked up.
So demeaning, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I get worked up when, you know, well, you're the only one, Andy, who thinks, you know, I'm sorry to rally to your defense, by the way, but you're the only one who thinks that Browner hasn't been impressive.
Right, like, oh, I guess I should change what I'm saying and sound just like everyone else, you know? Stop it.
Let me be a lemming. I'm sorry. They'll go 14-2 and
Browner's
win the Super Bowl.
Browner's looked terrible based on the expectations of him coming in. It's been a bad preseason, both in practice and in games.
And I thought he was highly overrated when they signed him. I thought he was highly overrated when he was on Seattle. It was sort of Richard Sherman and Brandon Browner. Then you watch the games and you're like, that guy's a lot better than that guy.
Right.
Now it's Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner. And I'm like, That guy's a lot better than that guy. They shouldn't be used in the same sentence.
Not even close.
They play the same position. That's where the similarities end.
And I'm starting to, I had the comparison of, I used to get sick and tired of two great tight ends, Gronk and Hernandez.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot closer than this is.
I don't think he's as good as Aaron Hernandez was as the number two to Gronk.
No, definitely not. Not
so,
even close.
That's, but who knows?
Well, I mean, now it's Gronk and Wright.
Speaking of which, we have an email on Wright. We have an email, webradio@patriots.com. Cookie writes in, Tim Wright was not rated highly by the Patriots. They passed him up 7 times, and they had 2 seventh-round picks. Wright is not 6'4". He was measured at 6'3". It is combine where they are precise. They didn't want Wright. Really, they wanted to get rid of Mankin's salary. Mankins played at a high level last year and can play left tackle. Thanks, Cookie.
Wait a minute, though.
But just because they didn't draft him doesn't mean they didn't want him.
And,
didn't like him.
You know, guys can't change a year into their career. Oh, you know, he's better than we thought he was. He's a little better at this than we thought he was. Oh, yeah, he is versatile. He, whatever.
Yeah. Now, I don't, this is not an editorial on the trade. I think the trade was made for what we talked about in the pregame. I think a lot of it was financial. But just because you don't draft a guy doesn't mean you didn't like him at all. There's plenty of guys that, you
could have had Jarrell Worthy.
You're probably interested in what?
Tampa Bay didn't draft
a
guy.
2 or 3 dozen players.
Now, to be fair, he went to Rutgers and we didn't sign him, so that should have been a damn.
But maybe they tried and he wanted to sign with Shiano.
I know, I'm just being sarcastic.
No, but I'm just giving you a for instance.
I thought you wanted me to be snarky.
Well, that was the other thing tonight on the broadcast. We had to talk about the Rutgers thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to come in with a snarky, like, you know, Bill's friendly with Nick Saban, too. Can we just start signing Alabama guys? I mean, the Rutgers guys, let's face it, most of them haven't really worked. McCourty's like the only one.
I mean, I think, and I said this somewhere, I don't know, one of my many, many media appearances. To me, this is a make or break year on the Rutgers connection. You have Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon, who they're at that career crossroads. Are they actually key parts of this defense, or are they two bad picks in the third round that aren't living up to expectations and aren't really doing anything? Because they look like they could be the latter to me.
Sean's in New Hampshire. He's up next on the Patriots.com postgame show. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. I'm fired up, man. I watched this game. I'm going to come straight with this. You guys did an awesome job. Every time I see you guys on the television, it's just fire, man. They cut you guys. You guys got it on point.
Thank you.
Three things. Good, bad, the ugly. Good, bad, the injured. Sorry, good, bad. You had Clint Eastwood hung in the night.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 3 names, and I'm going to let you guys take it away. Tim Wright.
Good.
Zach Moore. And Brian Timms.
So which? All right. So Tim Wright was good.
Did they make the roster? And what's the impact? Like for me right now, I'm gonna be straight with you guys. My biggest concern right now, I've been on hold for like 50 minutes. My honest to God, biggest concern right now is that Belichick is gonna cut somebody that we could use.
Well, that is probably going to be true, because it happens every year where he cuts somebody that most of us think that they could use. My argument would be they already cut that guy, and he's now playing for the Arizona Cardinals, and his name is Tommy Kelly. Because you mentioned Zach Moore. He's another guy that could be in that mix there that is, you know, straight off the fields of St. Paul, Concordia, St. Paul, whatever, Division II school. So
yeah, and Matt Chatham has him playing, you know, 2 different positions, in a 3-4 and a 4-3, and I think that's asking an awful lot of a guy who's played Division II.
We have a Division II guy. We have 2 undrafted guys.
And a Division II guys. But they're also undrafted Division II guys. Both. Malcolm Butler is Division II guy.
No. But I was just talking about the defensive line. Chris Jones, a waiver wire pickup.
Waiver wire pickup.
We have Joe Valano, an undrafted guy. Silver Salinga, undrafted?
I don't know for sure.
Certainly practice squad / waiver wire /
he was a practice squad refugee.
Right. I mean, there's a, you know how we've been talking, Paul, about not devoting $50 million to like defensive tackles? Well, you don't have to go the other way, Bill, and just get guys off the scrap heap. There's a tweener somewhere, you
somewhere
know.
Somewhere like in between.
$2 million Happy defensive medium. Tackle. This is just, you know, and I don't know why I didn't really think of this before, and I don't know if it's coming to me because of the Kelly cut, but this defensive line is interesting. I'm not going to say it's bad. I'm not going to say it lacks depth. I'm just saying the way it's transformed
it's
over this camp, it's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's younger and more athletic, but I don't know if it's better.
Justin's
I don't know if it's
and
better.
We're banking on a guy coming off an ACL who's a rookie first-round pick, a guy
this is,
it feels like
there's
Worthy.
There's a little bit of heat on him. I think he needs to be good, Easley.
Oh, because, certainly. Because if this team is going to be good on the defensive line, he does.
Yeah, I think they need him.
Justin's in Virginia. Justin, go ahead.
Hey, don't ever let anyone tell y'all y'all ain't the best. And Paul's not negative. He's just real.
I like it.
But
thank you.
As for Tim Wright, Logan Mankins trade or whatever, I agree that Tim Wright is a horrific person to get in exchange for Logan Mankins. And I agree that it was kind of just a trade way to just cut Logan Mankins and get some of that money back. And I honestly like the deal. But there's going to be times next year where I get mad every time that Brady gets sacked or whatever, because I feel like Logan Mankins could have prevented that. But I don't think this Tim Wright guy is that bad. I know you can't
really
say that after a guy only played a year, but in his first year, he was more productive than Aaron Hernandez was two out of three of his years. Aaron Hernandez dropped a lot of passes, and Tim Wright didn't drop that many passes in his first year. He only dropped one.
Well, I don't go by those numbers necessarily.
Yeah, because the reports out of Tampa is that he did have some questionable hands.
And that worries me.
His last few practices, he wasn't that good, the report said.
Lovie Smith was down on him, and then he kind of turned the page, and as Paul joked, maybe when he was trying to trade him, he realized, you know, crapping on the guy in the media wasn't the best way to pump up his trade value. Like I said, all I can go by, and I try to go by, is first impressions, and my first impression of him tonight was positive.
Yeah, mine too. You know, I thought we'd see him. I didn't think we'd see him as much as we did. I didn't think we'd see the ball go in his direction as much as we did. So I agree with Andy. I think it was a positive first step.
Elvis in North Carolina. Elvis, you're up next on the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One.
Hey guys, I want to ask you a rhetorical question here. Going to give you some names: Fritz Warrenberger, George Boosie, Jonathan Wilhite, Kareem Brown, and Derek Mills.
What do they all have in common?
Fourth round picks that didn't make the team.
They're fourth round picks, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They didn't get crap from Mankins. These guys are all throwaways in the last seven years.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are in agreement that the motivation for the Mankins trade was financial.
Correct.
You know, he was making too much money.
Correct.
And I don't think any of us loves the deal. I don't think, I'm not speaking for Beadle.
I don't think,
Andy and I don't think we hate the deal.
I don't hate it. I don't love it.
I don't love it. I don't hate it. I understand it.
I think we're all on the same page.
You can also play the game. Aaron Hernandez was a fourth round pick. He was a good player.
You can get good. That's what you get. That's what you get.
Allegedly. What I don't appreciate is that there are people now selling this as like the greatest trade the team has ever pulled off.
Well, like, who's doing that?
Oh.
78%.
78%. It's a great trade.
But don't be like that. Don't confuse, you know, people saying, okay, I like the trade with, it's the greatest transaction this team's ever made.
Right. The greatest transaction this team ever made
was in March.
I deal in extremes.
Signing Darrell Revis.
I'm sorry.
I've noticed.
I deal in extremes, one way or the other. It's the way it goes. This is the Xbox One postgame show here on Patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you. 855-PATS-500, web radio at Patriots.com. We get some emails coming in, including one from Jared. Our buddy Jared in Vermont has emailed in.
That's our pal.
And I'll tell you what.
He hates us.
Nope.
He hates me.
He doesn't hate you. More on that is coming up.
That's okay.
After this quick timeout, don't go anywhere.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One. We're coming to you live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium here in Foxborough. Patriots fall tonight in their final preseason game of 2014, 16-13, the final score down at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey.
I got a bad, by the way.
Go right ahead.
My last bad. I don't even know if we're still on that. I fell asleep during the break. Jimmy Garoppolo getting thrown down like a rag doll on the second to last snap of the game. Just didn't look good. I mean, he seemed to be fine. I don't think he had any ill effects from it. But it was one of those, not quite to the degree of like a Jim McMahon or something, but he got thrown down on that shoulder pretty hard.
Jared in Vermont writes in.
Who hates us.
Webradio@patriots.com.
More Bertrand, less Paul and Andy, they're DBs, blah, blah, blah.
He writes, hi, guys. That was a good play. Just want to clarify that I don't hate Paul and Andy.
I just don't want them on the show.
I've been an avid Patriots Football Weekly reader since I was a kid in the 90s. And to this day, take great pride in the fact that my favorite publication is the league's first and best full-color NFL weekly newspaper. Is he now sucking up to you? That's what it seems like.
That's okay. He hates me.
It seems like he's sucking up to you guys a little bit. Then he goes on to bash Matt Chatham and Christian Fourier. So we're going to skip that part of the email.
Oh, why?
We're just going to skip that part. And then
I would have been okay reading it.
The last part of the email. He writes, how about the no hands to the face penalties tonight? I think if anyone earned a job tonight, it was Nate Ebner. Alfonso Dennard had a bad missed tackle in the second quarter near the red zone. He went for the strip. He should have secured the tackle. And love you guys, Jared in Vermont.
Love you guys.
Yeah, I feel it. Now he loves us. Do you feel the love?
Well, he never hated you.
Nate Ebner,
no,
I think.
No, in fact, he liked the postgame show before you two guys showed up.
Yes. Nate Ebner, I think, is a special teams guy, and I think that job is probably his. I think they like him as a special teamer. You've been pointing out all summer, Andy, where has he been lining up in the punt
team?
He's
the personal protector.
Yeah, and I think that's an important job on special teams. I think he's a physical player. I don't want him anywhere near the secondary.
You know, Matt
I don't
Chatham-
want him anywhere near the secondary. Matt Chatham makes a big deal of him making a good form tackle 25 yards downfield after he allowed a completion on that play.
He even talks with his hands when he's not on.
When Daxton Swanson had to come over and make the strip. I don't want him anywhere near safety.
Michael,
do you feel differently? Because
no.
If you do, you can. I mean, you don't have to agree with me just because I said it definitively.
Now, you know, maybe on the goal line, the linebacker safety type.
You know what I'm
saying. But yeah, not in traditional safety play or inside coverage.
Michael from Australia writes in, webradio@patriots.com. Hey, guys, how many running backs do you think the Patriots will keep?
Four.
Is it possible that James White does not make the 53-man roster?
No.
No.
P.S., love the show. No offense, Mark. I enjoyed the show last year as well, but it's awesome, all caps, to have Paul and Andy on board this year.
Okay, so we're saying Ridley is on the team, right? Ridley is going to make the 53-man roster out of camp.
Yes. I believe that would
not be the Mike Reese, he could get traded or whatever. Field Yates was sort of spinning the other day when I talked to him. But coming out of camp, Ridley?
Ridley.
Devlin. Locks. He's a lock.
I agree he's a lock, but he comes before Shane Vereen in the lock category.
Who played more tonight, Tom Brady or James Devlin?
Shut up.
Is it usually a good sign when you play in the fourth preseason game? Yeah, I'm just saying.
So maybe Brady's in trouble.
Shane Vereen, James White, James Devlin, Stephen Ridley. Lock, 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 lock. Four locks.
I think so.
Now, I don't think Bolden's on the team.
I think
Bolden's done. I think the Brandon Bolden experience project is over. The guy I think is the next guy is Roy Finch. Whether he can make it as a return man specialist. You know, Chatham brought up an interesting point. As much as we mock kickoffs, you might have to return a kickoff at some point. And who is the guy you want returning your kickoff? Is that Shane Vereen? Is that Josh Boyce?
If I had to have like one guy out of the, whatever, 83 that are on the roster right now, if I could pick the best guy, it probably would be a guy like Finch or Boyce or someone like that. That's not worth a roster spot for me.
So Roy Finch does not make your team?
No.
I think he makes mine. In fact, he did on my last roster projection.
I have not been overly impressed with the Finch.
I thought he was going to say with my roster projection.
I would have to have read one of them to be impressed.
Oh. Let's get to an email from Josh. Josh in Orlando writes.
But can we get back to Finch? I think we have some disagreement.
And we have a listener we know cares a lot about this.
Go for it.
He's actually been promoting the fact that on my roster projection, I had Roy Finch, VIP Strippers, who's a big Oklahoma fan, has been promoting it to people in Oklahoma.
Yeah. Do you like the Finch?
I just don't know that I've seen enough to really say that he'd be worth having on the roster.
Like him, don't love him.
Practice squad?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and I don't want to, please, before we start, I don't want to hear the, oh, there's no way you'll get him to the practice squad.
I'm not sure you're going to sneak him through.
There's going to be a lot of teams cutting a lot of players in the coming days.
Listen, many of not easy. It's not just a foregone conclusion that every guy you cut is going to be eligible for your practice squad, okay? I understand that there are times, a couple years ago, they lost a few guys that I think they probably wanted to keep for the practice squad. Will Yeatman. Remember?
Lee Smith,
a couple of backups.
The guy who went out to Tampa and started, the guard in Tampa.
Ted Larson. Good call. So I'm not saying that it doesn't ever happen, but undrafted rookies, you know, who fumbled multiple times in the preseason.
One game.
No, I'm just saying, generally can get to the practice squad. In general. No guarantees. You might lose them.
I like him.
I'm fine with exposing him to waivers.
Another guy.
And I would like to see him come back because I do think there's some potential there to tap.
John Jalapio. What do you got for him?
Jalapio.
Anistique. What do you got for him?
I haven't seen a lot from him.
Roster?
I think he's on the roster.
I do too.
I think they probably keep 9.
That's what I have.
And I think Stork probably replaces Mankins on. I think the last roster projection you had and I had, we had Stork on IR.
Yes.
So Stork probably takes the spot that Mankins had, and you could probably find a way to still have 9 offensive linemen. Let's see. Solder, Cannon, Wendell, Conley, Vollmer is 5, right?
Yes.
Klein is 6, Stork is 7, Fleming is 8, Jalapio is 9. So I think Devy's probably out.
Practice squad.
In that scenario. So I think you can have 9 and have all 3 of those rookie draft picks make it. I do think it'd be a little bit more difficult to get, you know, as you get up, you know, a draft pick, that might be a little bit more attractive to someone up the Bucks. I mean, the Bucks didn't just fix all their offensive line hopes with needs with Mankins. Miami's got some questions on the offensive line. So you get a guy from Florida, sixth round pick in Jalapio, there's a chance that someone might pick him up.
2 emails here with the same question. Josh in Orlando, Florida, as well as Eric in Kansas, both want to know, is there any shot that the Patriots would sign Richie Incognito? No.
I don't think any shot.
No. 0.0 chance, in my opinion.
The whole thing Bill talked about before he traded Mankins was there's going to be a lot of discussions, team working from surplus and deficiencies in the next few days, trying to make deals. You know, one team has a surplus here, the other team has a deficiency, they marry him up, boom, you get a trade. So, theoretically, they had a deficiency at tight end and a surplus at guard. Now, there's money involved, obviously, but they felt like they had enough players at guard where he was expendable.
Yeah.
So why are they adding a guard now, oh, by the way, who's a bully, oh, by the way, after you have no leadership in your offensive line meeting room? You have a first-year offensive line coach
and a bunch of
and nobody
picks.
And nobody, and you're going
to bully around.
Just unleash Richie Incognito into that
now,
to
even
pee
if
in the pond.
Even if you wanted to make the argument, say, listen, he's a changed man.
Pool, I think it would be.
You know, even if he's a changed man and he's going to come in and he'll be.
Because
forget about it. Forget. I'm
you know the year 5 jump.
Hypothetical.
He's a changed man on the 17th opportunity to prove himself a changed man.
I agree. I'm just trying to be playing devil's advocate. Hypothetical. He's a changed guy, and he's ready to be the leader that, you know, people thought he might be in Miami before they realized what a turd
leader.
He was. Okay,
he was on their leadership
How about
council.
Just, he was on their leadership council. Okay? He was on their leadership council. So let's just say, hypothetically, he belonged there, and you bring him in. Where are all these people that have been telling me for the last 36 hours that the Patriots had so much depth at guard, and that's why they were able to make this trade? They have so much depth in the why is it a need? And I've seen a lot of people, by the way, pose that question. Should they go after Incognito now? I don't think it makes any sense at all.
I actually think it makes more sense
to maybe the Bucks to keep going with an Incognito, sign him,
right.
And Mankins will keep him in line.
Yeah, forget about the fact that he's a bad guy off the field and not a guy you necessarily want to bring into your locker room. I don't think they need the player. And under the best of circumstances, I don't think he helps your team.
Let's go to Jake in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jake.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I've got to say, I love the new show. Love the format.
Thanks.
Now, I'm not sure who said it. It was after the Washington preseason game. I think it was Andy.
Probably.
Said that he was talking about the Patriots and how they've only survived the past few years with, you know, because of Brady and Belichick's game planning. And then I watch, you know, them cut people like Kelly and Anderson and then get rid of Mankins and replace them with seventh-round picks or undrafted rookies. And he seems to do this every year. And I don't know, I'm getting sick and tired of the Sterling Moores and the Dane Fletchers playing backups when you could have these smart veterans playing. And I don't understand it. And, I mean, he thinks he can get away with it because he has Brady, but when Brady retires, I mean, I just don't understand why he builds his team that way. Probably for money reasons, but I don't know, maybe you guys can answer that for me.
Well, it may be money reasons on one level, but apparently the numbers are now at about 13 million, 13.4 in cap space the Patriots have. I mean, so that's not really a money reason. I mean, you can keep whoever you want to keep. Now you can argue long term, I'm rolling it over and it's part of the plan and extensions and this and that. And okay, you can have that discussion, I guess. I just think it's his philosophy in general. He likes the low value guys. I think some of it is team building. I think he likes these hardworking, gonna prove themselves, you know, not too many stars, blobbly. I mean, he does it with his coaching staff, you know, promoting from within and these young guys who do the crap ass jobs and then work their way up.
I thought that was interesting. In the, do you remember the item I put in First Down about, no, there was a poll that ESPN.com had. They were asking a bunch of GMs, current, former executives, coaches around the league, whatever, the best coach, and Belichick got the most votes. He won it, and one of the quotes was sort of similar to that, about, you know, the way he sets up his system. It fosters, you know, because he is so hands-on in everything. He's involved in the offense, he's involved in the defense, he's involved in the special teams, he can coach any position. That means that he can promote his coaches from within because he is so heavily involved with everything. He doesn't need a guy to, I need a strong linebackers coach,
right,
because I lost my linebackers coach. I have to find somebody. He can promote some coaching assistant from within, have him do that, and now he's focusing a little bit more on linebackers that next year because he has the ability to coach everything. And I think that is the way he sets up the whole
now,
program.
The flip side of that, or the Felger side, would be he's an egomaniac and he doesn't want anybody who's going to challenge him. And, he, you know, it's my way or the highway, and the only people that'll kind of play by those rules are young up-and-coming coaches, not established coaches with their own thoughts.
Yeah, and I think that some of the stuff that, you know, the caller makes good points. I think that you know, and Fred gets mad at when we do this, I think you have to separate the coach and the GM a little bit. I think coaching, he is without par, without peer. I think he is tremendous as a coach. I think as a GM, he's sort of run-of-the-mill. He's in the. I think that his philosophies are stuff that I don't necessarily agree with. I don't think his talent evaluation is anything that's special. I think that he tends to focus on guys like you said, Andy, you know, scrappy guys that are looking to prove a point, overachieve, and then sort of cycle those guys out and get other guys like that. I don't necessarily think that I kind of agree with that point that the caller was making. I think there are times where they let players go that Tommy Kelly should be on this team. There's no need to have cut Tommy Kelly, in my opinion. Not that he is going to be the difference between you winning the Super Bowl or not, but I think you're a better team with Tommy Kelly.
And Bill said there are no negatives. So there's no flat out, I have to cut him because of X. Now, we can argue what the reason you cut him was, but if you're saying there are no negatives, then why are you cutting him? If he's close, if he's even, why not err on the side of experience and knowledge and proven player, right?
Yeah, and I think it's because he likes to have those guys. You know, I don't think he looks at Tommy Kelly as a full-time player. He probably looks at him as maybe an early down guy. I'm going to have Easley in there in sub packages, so his role is going to be smaller. I can move on. I can get a young guy in there and, you know, have it be a little bit more cost effective. And I don't really like that theory. I don't think that you're putting necessarily your best 53 out there. And I think he does that. That's just a small example, but I think he's done that consistently over the years.
And how about it was 15 or 14 rookies a year ago, 7 of them undrafted. Well, now how many more are you going to add to that? Right? You're going to add a few more. So all of a sudden, 20-something guys on your team are first or second-year players, and more than half of them are undrafted players.
Yeah, and people...
It's going to be the young... I mean, it wasn't last year the youngest team that he's had And now you've cut Tommy Kelly.
This one should be younger.
You've
right?
let Logan Mankins go. You're going to be younger.
Yeah, and you know, people point to that like a badge of honor. Like, oh, look at all the undrafted free agents. I don't think that's anything to necessarily be overly proud about. You know, I mean, like, I think it's fine. I admire the fact that he is able to evaluate the players as they are and not say, well, this guy's a second rounder, that guy's an undrafted free agent. The second rounder's going to win out. I admire the fact that he treats them all the same once they get here, but I don't think it's necessarily something to be all that excited about that you have so many undrafted guys.
Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Great.
Good. What's up?
Oh, man. Well, I'm not as enthusiastic as I was earlier about the defense. I guess I'm just going to have to wait and just see how the first – 2 or 3 weeks ago. Because like I said, it's our defensive line is kind of like our defensive and offensive line is kind of like the same. There's a lot of unknowns as far as who the starters are going to be. As far as safety, I don't have any confidence in Chung at all. I know that, he's familiar, with the system. I mean, I know for a fact what he's going to bring to the table. I mean, because he made the same mistakes in Philadelphia that he was doing when he was with us, the first part of his career. And I just don't think that he should be starting. I mean, but a lot of people are still high on him. I mean, but I'm not. So, I just want to, I got a question too. What's going on with Mayo?
That's a good question. And I have not the faintest idea.
He has some sort of a health issue. It was made clear that he had a health issue, and we haven't seen him. So now the next step becomes, do you see him on opening day? Now, he was there tonight. He just didn't play. But we haven't seen anything. He spoke to the media last week and said he was good. You know, in terms of the injury, you'd have to ask Bill. So there's not a lot to go on there.
The fact that he didn't play tonight is not that big of a deal, though.
No. The fact that he didn't play this preseason is not ideal.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, you're up next.
Hi, how's it going, y'all?
What's up?
Yeah, I got a quick question. First of all, has Browner played safety in the preseason?
Nope.
He has not played safety.
No.
Okay.
And I don't believe he's played any inside coverage, as Belichick terms it at times. So, I mean, he has been a cornerback, an outside corner, a guy playing on the right side primarily. So, yeah, the versatility that people want to see, he's never done it in his career either.
Okay. So with that being said, and he's just seeming to throw anybody out there as safety. I know, Andy, you talked about this a while back with the safety issue. Do you think that, like, this, the big hard-hitting type safety, I was like, with all these other people, because he's like throwing corners out there. I don't know if that's what he feels like fits the system. I don't know if this is a speed-based thing and he don't feel like he would fit. But, like, that whole idea is just, I mean, I was thinking, I'm more confused now than I was at the beginning of preseason game one. So it's just, I would think that you would have, I mean, it's like similarities that I feel like that they're sharing with throwing these people at this safety position because they're all kind of corners. And I'm just trying to figure out, match that link there. Does he not like the big kid, the Rodney Harrison of the world? Is that whole idea of his done?
No.
It's just, I don't know, because I know he drafted Tavon Wilson, but that didn't work out either. But
he also signed Adrian Wilson. I still think he wants a bigger safety who can also cover. He just hasn't been able to find that guy. And I think he puts a premium on the coverage, certainly, because I think you have to at this in this point in the NFL and the way offenses attack you. But I still think he would like to have a guy out there who is a bigger safety who can also cover. Rodney Harrison. I mean, Rodney Harrison was not a detriment to your coverage, whereas some of these guys, an aging Adrian Wilson before he even got hurt, I think would have been a detriment to your coverage. It's finding that guy. It's, those guys go high. We talked about it throughout the pre-draft process. A guy I liked, how do you say it again? Deion
Buchanan.
was overdrafted, in my opinion. He was a good player, but probably not a great player. He goes in the first round, so, oh, maybe that's a guy they would have taken in the second round. You know, I don't know. But, you know, those guys are at a premium now. Big enough to hit, athletic enough to cover.
Patriots fall tonight, 16-13, the final against the New York Giants at MetLife Stadium. After the game, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
We had a lot of guys, got a lot of experience, so it's good. Good competitive game, and you know, we'll look at the film and go back and make our decisions here over the next couple of days, and then obviously turn a page, start getting ready for Miami. So it's that time of year. We got a lot of work to do, a lot of things we got to. Things, decisions we've got to make, things we got to get ready for, so we'll be on it tomorrow.
Bill, what did you like about Tim Wright to acquire him for today?
You know, he had a lot of production last year catching the ball, so gave him a few snaps tonight, see how it goes.
Were you impressed with how much he played, given that he just got here 2 days ago, or not a big deal, just based on the fact it's not a big game plan situation?
Yeah, I think, you know, Coach Dable, Coach McDaniels did a good job of getting him ready for a few things, and you know, good he was able to do. I mean, there was obviously some mistakes, but you know, he was able to function okay.
How would you describe his style of play, the way he plays the position?
I don't know. We'll see how he does in our offense.
Coach, you've got a lot of corners play the safety position, you know, opposite Devin. Does that give you a lot more versatility moving forward, get more athletes on the field at the same time?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, we've had a got an opportunity to play a lot of guys in the secondary. We've been in a lot of, even tonight, you know, we're in a lot of nickel defense, and we've been in that all preseason, a lot against Philadelphia, and you know, even a decent amount last week against Carolina. So I've got a lot of our defensive backs got a lot of experience at multiple positions, the inside nickel position and corners playing safety, and our safeties have got a lot of work. So that's, you know, it's been good. We've seen a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Decision to play Josh pretty much all night at left guard.
That's the way it is in the last preseason game. Yeah, you got some guys who, you know, you don't have a lot of. I mean, we had seven linemen going into the game. Devy's probably played, I'd say, more snaps in preseason than any other player in the league. So.
Nice little set. Gets his hands inside. Gets pushed back. Your thoughts on Josh going into the after tonight and how he played?
Josh. Oh, we'll look at the film tomorrow. I mean, I don't know.
What is he showing you from year one to year two in terms of his improvement?
I think, you know, really all our guys have moved up from year one, starting from a higher point and a good all-season program. You know, being stronger, being more mentally ready, more better technique, better understanding of the game. I think all those guys have done that, the receivers, our linemen, defensive guys.
What's on Dwight Jimmy guided the offense tonight?
Sorry?
Dwight Garoppolo guided the offense tonight?
Oh, man. You know, we'll look at the film. I'm sure there's some good things, and I'm sure there's some other things that, you know, need to be corrected.
Well, been a good week for him as far as just the flow of getting used to getting ready to start a game, just going through what that process may be.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it got, you know, I think it was a good experience for him. You know, just help his development. He's obviously got a long way to go, but I think that was, you know, he learned a lot from the week.
Bill, it's our first opportunity to see you since Logan was traded. I wanted to ask, when you say to do what's best for a football team, do you sometimes have to weigh now and then the future as well and try and make that balance in making a personnel decision like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I really, you know, tried to cover as succinctly as I could in the statement that I made after that. And, you know, I don't think I could put it any differently than I already have.
When you sit down and do these roster evaluations now, do you have a set way of doing it in terms of you weigh the games more over the practices? Is it different for every player? How do you weigh the two, you know?
I try to do what's best for the football team. There's a lot of things go into it. There's no, I can't say that there's a set pattern. We just got to do what we think's best, and there's a lot of things we have to take into consideration. Yeah, we'll do that and make the best decisions we can.
Bill, how hard did Aaron Dobson work to get to this point where he could play as much as he did tonight?
Yeah, well, it was good for him to be able to get some game action, you know, go out there and get hit a little bit and, you know, make a couple plays. Took him, you know, a while. I mean, he started off the training camp on you know, in the reserve, and then, you know, came off and started to get some activity and worked his way back into practice and was able to, you know, get back on the field tonight. So I was positive. It's been, you know, process, and he's, you know, had to take, you know, each step along the way to get to the next level. So, you know, tonight was the first night he played, and it was good to see him out there.
So you have a lot of competition at running back. Is that going to be some of the tougher decisions you have to make when it comes to that area?
Well, I mean, sure. You know, we'll just have to see. And, you know, a lot of those positions play not just off each other, but off other positions as it relates to the kicking game and skill players in general on offense. So we'll just see how it all plays out. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a factor in it.
Garoppolo's ability to keep the focus in the middle of the field before he works back out to a second and third option is unusual for a player of his
right now? I don't know. I mean, we've had other quarterbacks that, you know, have gone on to be good quarterbacks. We'll see how he does. You know, I mean, he's got a lot to learn. So he does, you know, a lot of good things. He's got a lot to learn.
Has there been any change, Bill, on the depth chart behind Brady as to who's the number two?
No.
Still Mallard.
That way, I haven't announced anything about any starters or anybody.
Yeah, I mean, Mallard was the two last year, so.
Last year, I didn't have anything to do with it. This year is this year.
This year is this year.
So, that's
some competition.
Look, this year is this year. Good? Yep. Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, very adamant that this year is this year. Don't read into last year.
That's good.
He's very adamant. Mallett, not the two, according to him. He has not named anything.
Could be the one.
Hasn't named the starter at quarterback.
Could be the one.
Has not named the starter yet.
As Andy mentioned earlier, I mean, you know, the guys that played tonight aren't necessarily considered to be guys that are safe in terms of the roster.
Yeah.
Brady was out there. Mallett wasn't.
Interesting.
Hey, it's one way to look at it.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Quick update off of Twitter. I just thought this was interesting. Shalice Manza-Young, Boston Globe, was sort of going back and forth with a questioner on Twitter and said that she believes that Josh Klein is going to be the starting left guard, and then followed that up with, that's an informed statement, not a guess by me. So apparently she has a source or some sort of information that leads her to believe that Josh Klein will indeed be the starting left guard for your New England Patriots.
Yeah, and that's not out of the realm of possibility. We talked about it a lot in the pregame. Andy has Klein in the starting lineup.
I felt better about that before tonight's game.
Yeah. I should also say that the Globe
didn't go overly well.
I don't know who wrote it, but Boston.com was, you know, I was telling you guys during that Belichick interview.
JohnHenry.com, yes.
Listed, my God, you're so bitter. Listed Klein and Dobson as two guys that shined tonight against the Giants. And I would wholeheartedly disagree with Josh Klein shining in this game tonight.
855-PATS-500, the phone number for you, right here on the Xbox One postgame show on Patriots.com. 855-PATS-500, webradio at Patriots.com is the email address if you want to send us an email. Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs, giving you personalized fantasy news, highlights, stats, and scores across multiple leagues instantly on your TV. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life, now available for $3.99 at a Microsoft store near you. Don't go anywhere. More coming up on the postgame show, including the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. What did he have to say after tonight's game? And what did the newest Patriot, Tim Wright, have to say after he played well tonight? That's coming up right here.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats of all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio at patriots.com. Now back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Patriots.com postgame show, coming to you live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Mark, Paul, Andy with you right up until 12:30. Give us a call, 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number, web radio at Patriots.com. Andy running on fumes a little bit right now. It's been a long day. It's been a very long day.
Long day, long preseason. So, I'm a little tired.
We're looking to finish strong. We're going to get to Jimmy Garoppolo in just a minute. But before we do that, let's head on back to the phones and talk to John in North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, I'm wondering if the system only goes so far. That's my worry or concern, that the system will get you to the playoffs, but the system's not going to beat the Harbaughs and the Denver, things like that.
That is certainly the argument made by former players here over the years. Certainly some guys became riled up, the Mike Vrabels and the Richard Seymours of the world.
Teddy Bruschi.
That it was just the system. And
Thank you, Mike Vrabel.
You know, I think even as fans and media members, we may have gotten caught up over that in the years. And then you look back at it now and, you know, there were some damn good playmakers on those teams, timely playmakers, guys who rose to the occasion, not just defensively and the guys I just mentioned, but the David Givenses and different guys who made plays when plays needed to be made. And I think you learn that's a big part of winning games in the postseason. Playmakers, you know, being able to just go out there and do it.
And I do think the system is terrific. And I think that sure. The way that the Belichick designs, you know, the fact that he's game plan oriented, I think all the things that he does to set up the football team. I very rarely come out of a game and say, wow, I can't believe they did that, football-wise. But I agree with you, Andy. I think there are some limitations to at times you just need to have the horses.
Maybe
sometimes
you're learning the system is why they win the division every year and win 12 games every year.
I think that's his point, John's
point. The players are the reason you won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, and maybe the players have come up short of late a little bit more than the system has come up short.
Yeah, oh, I agree.
But the system, you could
also... wrong with the system.
But now you're questioning the system... If the system entails also roster accumulation and bringing in players, then you could argue that the system
something
came up short
in
not bringing in the playmakers to make the plays when the system fails.
Yeah, I disagree with that system, but I don't hold that the same as I do the system.
What did you call
in terms
him
of
pedestrian? No. How'd you describe him as a GM?
Run of the mill.
This is, you know, Paul once said that Bill is a very, very good drafter.
Well, that's different than how he constructs his roster and...
Oh, so he's so
talent evaluation.
So if he's very, very good at drafting and run of the mill overall as a GM, he must just flat out suck in free agency and trades.
Well, I think his free agency track record speaks for itself.
So he sucks in free agency and trades. Because to average out to be very run of the mill,
I wouldn't say all his trades have sucked. He's had some good trades. Randy Moss trade was pretty good. Corey Dillon was pretty good.
Randy Moss trade, that wasn't bad.
That was a pretty good trade. It was good value for. Fourth round pick.
I do not
fourth
care
round pick.
About the numbers
for 23 touchdowns immediately. It worked out.
No, I mean obviously you're exaggerating.
It was worth the investment.
Yes, yeah.
Obviously you're exaggerating, but I don't think that he's as good a general manager as he is a coach.
I
don't
think that
it's
is
even close.
Universally agreed upon.
Well, not by Fred.
Well, I mean, can name anybody else. Okay,
4 AFC championship.
Sorry, maybe Fred, Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick's mom don't agree with it. Pretty much everyone else agrees that he's a better coach than he is a GM. We read the columns every year from Gasper and who, you know, Bill the GM is screwing Bill the coach.
That's good.
No, that's bad, Bill.
Let's hear from the quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, after this game tonight in New Jersey.
Who's running out of gas?
I never give them New York. No, you don't even play in New York.
Well, it's not in New York.
It is. It's in New Jersey. At MetLife.
MetLife Stadium. Here's what quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo had to say after the loss.
It could have went better. There's definitely some things that, you know, we messed up on, and it's fixable things, and things to learn from that when you watch the film.
Anything jump out to you as to why it didn't go maybe as smoothly tonight?
I'm not sure. I don't know. It's one of the things. I mean, we'll see on the film. Whatever it was that we weren't clicking like we should have been. We'll fix it.
Did you feel like you got more comfortable as the game went along?
Yeah, I felt pretty comfortable from the beginning. But just gradually. I mean, that's how every game is. You start to pick up what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it. So just gradually got more comfortable.
As the preseason winds down now, and obviously you've been getting a ton of snaps the last 2 games, what's the relationship been like with you and Ryan Mallett? Has it differed at all in this game?
No, not really. You know, me and Ryan and Tom as well, we all have a good relationship with one another, help each other out. And those two guys have helped me more than anyone probably. So, you know, yeah, it's same as it always was.
Were you impressed with Tim Wright and the fact that he just got here? He had 4 catches today from you.
Very intelligent player.
Is he?
Yeah, I mean, he picks it up very quickly, and, you know, he's pretty athletic too. So, you know, he had a heck of a game, and, you know, along with all the other tight ends and receivers and running backs, I mean, they all played well tonight.
Talked to you last night too before the game. It's been a good week for you as far as, you know, you're the guy, just your ability to work through things, just get the experience, you know, on and off the bus, playing in the stadium where they played the Super Bowl this past year, just a whole week experience. Pretty good experience for you?
Yeah, very good. It's one of those things that, you know, hopefully I look back on in a couple of years and, you know, really learn a lot from it and, you know, just take it and try to take the next step now. Now I know what a normal week like is for preparing to start and everything like that, and you know, it'll only help me going forward.
On the long touchdown pass to Aaron up the left side, can you go back through sort of what you saw on that?
And then you know, he had a go route and you know, went up and made a tremendous play for me. I mean, it's nice having receivers like that on the outside, big body guys who could go up and make a play for you, and you know, that's what he did, and it was a nice catch.
First read on the play, or were you going through your progressions there? And
going through it, yeah. I mean, he beat the guy, and, you know, just got to lay a ball up there for him and go get it. He did that.
And then on the flip side, what do you remember about the interception? What happened on that play?
You know, just the ball got away from me a little bit, sailed a little high, and, you know, you can't sail one high with defenders behind the receivers. And, you know, that's what happens when you do that. So, you know, it's learning experience. Wish it wouldn't have happened, but you know, got to learn from it and keep it down next time.
Was that the long ball that got nullified by the illegal contact?
No, that was Josh. That was the one to the right there.
Josh
to Tim.
Okay, all right, good deal.
Okay. Would you be ready to be the number 2 backup quarterback this season if that's what you're called upon to do?
Yeah, ready to do whatever they ask me to do. It's one of those things, whenever your opportunity comes, whether it's first, second, third, whatever it is, you have to be ready for it. And I think this preseason, going into the games with the mindset that I was the starter and, you know, just preparing like that, it really helped me get ready for that.
Has this been a whirlwind when you look at it? I mean, preseason's over. That's done. And training camp's over. I mean, has it moved really quickly?
It was slow in the beginning, but you know, now that I look back on it, it flew by, and you know, I'm sure that's just part of being a rookie. But you know, it was a good first training camp, first preseason, learned a ton, and you know, hopefully it'll benefit me later on in my career.
Jimmy, in announcing that you would start this week, I think Coach Belichick had mentioned he wanted you to experience everything that went into being a starting quarterback, including this aspect of it, the media aspect of things. How would you describe the experience that he wanted you to have through your eyes? Like,
I think it was very beneficial. You know, coming from a small school, I mean, we didn't have media like this. So, you know, it's good to experience, you know, the outside the locker room stuff, what goes on, the production meetings, all that stuff. So, you know, like I said, I think it'll only benefit me in the long run, and you know, I'm happy with what happened this week.
How difficult is it for you to understand the offense? And what I mean by that is, did you even have a playbook your senior year?
No, we didn't.
So you go from your senior year not having a playbook to the Patriots playbook, and explain how difficult that is.
It was an adjustment. It definitely was. But you know, that's the NFL for you. I mean, everyone has a playbook. It's like learning a different language, and you know, it's just it's something you have to adapt to and adapt quickly. And
how do you not have a playbook in college?
You guys, Dino Babers, that one, my head coach. So I'm not sure, but you'll have to ask him.
You guys, as a group of rookies, you know, whether it's, you know, Stork got some time today, it just seems like you and Brian Timms just, you know, kind of hit things off. I know he's not a rookie, but you know, it's a guy that's got another opportunity. He was in Cleveland. Now all of a sudden he's here with you, and he's trying to make this football team. You know, whether it's Jonas Gray, you know, you guys as a bunch of rookies, seems like a pretty tight-knit group.
Yeah,
those guys might not be here.
I mean, it's going to be. I mean, I've never experienced it before. What happens this next week? But it's going to be different. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. That's the NFL for you. So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be a new experience, that's for sure. About it. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Jimmy Garoppolo after the game talking about no playbook in college. You're going to have to go ask
Dino
Babers. Ask him about the no playbook. Dino now making Jimmy Garoppolo type money at Bowling Green, riding Jimmy Garoppolo's coattails.
Good for him.
To his 5-year contract at Bowling Green.
It's a 5-year deal.
5-year deal. You got to give a coach 5 years and they get hired.
Holy
for recruiting
Moses.
Purposes.
Well, he gets the auto win over UMass every year, right?
For this year. Actually,
this
I don't
year?
Even know if they're on their schedule this year. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
You don't have to.
I'll have to get back to you because I know Kevin is such a big UMass football fan that he needs to know these things. You going to the game on Saturday, Kev?
Not sure yet. I hope so.
It's going to be a big one.
Got a doozy.
Right here at Gillette Stadium. Battle of the Bay State. Battle of the Bay State. See you there, Andy, all right?
Sure.
See you there. 617. 855, Pats 500.
Wrong number, wrong station.
I'm getting tired here. We're a little thin. Sorry.
It's the last one, though.
Last preseason game. Can't wait for them to count. Cannot wait
for
them.
We got a couple of 1 o'clock games right out of the chute, so we'll be.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Good shape.
Brilliant.
We have three, don't we?
So that'll be good to look forward to. We should be raring to go. The post game show is at 4:15-ish. We won't be out of gas.
I won't be.
We'll be all wound up.
We will have, in my case, only
Andy will crash.
One
you'll
show
crash.
That day, this one. Let's go to William. He's in
Andy
Foxborough.
He'll have a couple of donuts early in the pregame
yes,
show. He'll
that's
crash.
Right. We'll have Dunkin' Donuts in here. It'll be great. That William, what do you got?
That could happen.
Well, I just want to talk about the broadcast tonight.
Sure.
I thought Paul and Andy did pretty good. Certainly, there are things to improve on.
Yes.
I think we can get better. I think we can make some adjustments. And certainly, did it well. But, you're just going to wait and see and keep moving forward.
Is this Bill Belichick?
Thanks, Bill. We're trying.
Well, I just think, like I said, certainly there are some things you can improve on. Andy had his pants with the tents in it.
Tent de pantalon.
Paul was not slouching tonight. Didn't have the tens in the seat. However, certainly there are some things to improve on. Maybe next year we just do it best for broadcast.
Unfortunately, we have to wait till next summer to do what's best for the broadcast.
Do what's in the best interest of the broadcast. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it wasn't our best effort. I'll have to look at the film, listen to the audio, but yeah, there were some things we could have done better.
Let's go to Pat in Agawam. Hey, Pat.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Pat? How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, I think that was Brooklyn Matt trying to clown you, Andy.
Oh, the last guy?
Yeah, the last guy.
I haven't heard from Brooklyn Matt in quite so long.
That was William in Foxborough.
Well, William on the flight to Foxborough.
Well, they're probably home by now.
Bowling Green is on the UMass schedule, Kev.
But, I haven't heard about Brooklyn Matt in a long time. That's a name, blast from the past. We haven't had much interaction with him.
So,
Pat, what do you got?
I want to bring up on, as far as the final roster cuts, what do you think we're going to go heavy on? Do you think we go heavy on the wide receiver position, or do you think we go heavy on the offensive line position? Because personally, I think we need, with Mankins getting traded, I think we probably need a little bit more depth at offensive line than we do at wide receiver. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, I think they're probably going to go 9 offensive linemen. Which is sort of in the range of, I think they've been between 8 and 10, right?
It could even be 10, but I think Andy's 9 is probably the number.
Now, I actually think defensive backfield could be a place where they end up a little heavy.
Everybody has 10, and I think there could be 11.
The ascension of Malcolm Butler, the unknown at safety, and those guys who are going to be rotating and playing on special teams. You know, guys we thought were fighting for jobs, maybe they all end up being here. Maybe a sleeper. You got a sleeper there, Paul, like Shamil Gary?
I don't really have a sleeper. I think it would be Swanson would be the one that
Daxton
out of those guys that has been the best, but I don't think that any of those guys have a chance. The extra could be a safety. If you figure Revis, Butler, Dennard, Ryan, Arrington, and then you go safety, McCourty, Chung, Harmon, what I would say are probably pretty safe. Then you have to
wonder,
Tavon Wilson, Nate Ebner.
Go 10 deep there.
And then is there another guy that you want to keep? You know, and don't forget, those are 10, and then you add Browner in week
right.
5. And I'm not sure that you want to get rid of any one of those guys in week 5 to make room for Browner.
Who's going to make the team that we don't think should make the team? Because I feel like that happens every year where a guy I just flat out didn't think should make the team makes the team.
I think a guy like Jarrell Worthy could be that guy if they decide.
James Morris.
If they decide to keep a linebacker. Yeah, there'll be an extra linebacker.
Wait, he got hurt tonight, right?
He got hurt, and I don't think he came back. He had the looked like they administered the ACL, MCL test there.
It's like an interior, maybe an MCL.
And he thought MCL when he first saw it. Jagarrett Davis, you know, was sort of on and off the roster at times last year. A guy like that, I'm not saying that he shouldn't make the team, but there'll be a guy like that that sort of surprises you for making the team.
Yvonne writes in, hey guys, I know we're all worried about Browner, but I think the guy will do fine. He seems to me like a guy who elevates his game depending on who he plays. He will especially be good with big, taller receivers. Don't you think it will be nice having him against Chicago's receivers later in the season? The rules won't be a concern for Browner as the referees reduce the flags as the first quarter passes by. Browner will have less flags. He'll likely share time with Dennard as an outside guy. Both of those guys are best suited on the outside. I don't know where any of this is coming from.
What?
Wow.
On Browner.
Anger.
Like,
anger.
I don't know where any of this comes from.
Well, where any
the,
of what comes
the
from?
The one part that I'll say that I don't agree with there is, you know, the flags won't be an issue. Well, before we had this so-called crackdown on defensive holding and illegal contact, he averages about a penalty a game for his career.
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
I think he has like 33 penalties and 39.
If he's blanketing Alshon Jeffrey or Brandon Marshall, I'm fine with
it. I'm more concerned about his,
but that's not
his
that's not what I said. He's saying that the flags won't be an issue.
That's wrong.
Well, the flags have been an issue for him already, and he hasn't played in an era of, you know, tighter scrutiny. So why are we just assuming that flags won't be an issue?
Well, I'm not. I would just rather have some. You know, he's a nice weapon to have against big receivers if he can cover.
He hasn't shown the ability to cover.
Yeah, I'm not sure he can run with those guys.
I'm not
sure either.
So will it be nice having him? I don't know. But right now, I'd say it doesn't seem that way.
It's sort of like, you know, is it nice to have size at receiver because you have David Terrell 7 years ago? Well, no, because he couldn't play. So the size was irrelevant, right?
Was he the one who played big?
Yes. Yeah. That was preseason. But you know what I mean? Like, theoretically, it's nice to have a corner who has that length. It's what everybody lusts after. It's also why Pete Carroll says, go ahead, guys, keep drafting those big corners. Because most teams that draft him, that guy's going to suck, and it was a wasted draft pick.
Yeah, Pete talked about that, by the way, Beetle, at the Combine.
Size only matters if you know how to use it.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
He talked to Paul and Andy at the Combine.
That's nice.
Yeah, and about 75 other guys that we're talking to.
He told me at the Combine.
We did promise Tim Wright.
Up all night.
First game with the Patriots. Up all night, Tim Wright. Here's what he had to say after the game. It's very brief. Here are his comments.
Right on.
You know, it's a great opportunity. This is a great organization led by great coaches, and I'm just taking it one day at a time. You know, it's still early. I got a lot to learn, and I'm just ready to go.
What's that process like, I guess, getting right into the game flow and everything?
I mean, it's business. Football is football, so it's easy to get prepared. We got great coaches, like I said, to get me ready, and I was ready to go.
How surprised were you?
You know, hey, I know the business, things happen, and you got to stay ready, you got to stay on your toes, and that's what I did.
Well, he doesn't have much to say. That's your newest Patriot, Tim Wright. He did his talking on the field tonight.
The hell's he going to say? He's been here in like 3 days.
He didn't have much to say, Andy, which is fine. As I said, he did his talking on the field. He was good on the field tonight. Very positive sign for the Patriots. Final email of the night. There always
is there
seems
an award for
be
that, like a prize?
One surprise player cut every year. Who will be the surprise player cut on offense and defense? Name one of each. This person's predictions, Devlin and Butler.
If they cut Devlin,
he's gonna be pissed.
You better take my ability to post live stories away from me for a little while, because it could get ugly. No chance.
Okay.
I would change Butler for Browner. And I do think Devlin would be a surprise guy. I think that's not a bad pick. With the addition of Wright, and Andy, you alluded to it in the pregame, that could impact. Again, surprise doesn't mean I think that either one of those things are going to happen. It would be a surprise.
Surprise cut.
Surprise!
What do you got, Andy?
Dan Conley and... There's no surprises on defense.
Browner. Browner would surprise you. It would surprise me.
It wouldn't, because he hasn't been that good.
But it would surprise
me. It would only surprise me because of the $1 million and the assumption that he's here because of the money.
And because he has the 4-game suspension, which they could wait this thing out.
Yeah, they wouldn't. If they cut him, it's not going to be Saturday.
Week 5.
Yeah.
Before week 5.
Holler if you hear me, yo. Come and feel me flow.
All right. That's our cue to get out of here when Andy starts rapping in the wee hours of the night. We're back next week, and it's
so
for
my
real.
Cue to go right. Lord only knows what non-coherent next crap is going to be on the website.
Hey, next time we do this, real football is back.
This time it'll count.
It counts. It Booyah. Counts. Week 1 is on
Miami.
The way. Let's see, what, 9 days from now?
South Beach.
Is that right? Did I do the math right?
Sunshine fins up in the heat.
Oh, no,
ready.
10 days from now. 10 days. Oh, no,
I don't do math
no,
at this
not,
time
it's
of
nine
night.
Days. It's
I don't know which
Friday.
Day are you counting.
It's not Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday,
no
Friday morning.
I apologize for the last 5 minutes. I know you can never get this part of your life back, and it's our fault.
Game 1, Patriots, Dolphins. We'll have it, obviously, with the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Of course, you can hear Paul and Andy all week long on PFW in progress. Thanks to Kevin Collins, our producer, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart. I'm Mark Bertram. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devil in the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the 5. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots kick off the 2014 season in South Beach against the Miami Dolphins. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me and a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown! Rob Gronkowski! He spikes with emphasis!
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown!
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome to the Patriots.com postgame show presented by Xbox One.